This is Michael Welch, producer and host of the Global Research NewsHour. This one-hour radio show has been produced each week out of campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, since the fall of 2012. What you are about to hear is a special broadcast which was devoted to raising funds for the station. It aired Friday, February 12th. If you're listening to the Global Research NewsHour on a community radio station, we encourage you to donate funds to that station during their fundraising drives to keep that station less reliant on funds from advertisers and foundations, which could shape content. If you're listening to this show online, please encourage your local community radio station to carry the show. Host radio station CKUW is still accepting pledges, but only online. Please visit fundrive.ckuw.ca to donate. Thank you to all our devoted listeners who have donated already and for supporting independent news and views. The Global Research News Hour will return next week with a regular show.
It's a great honor to pass it over to Michael. Thank you to everyone who pledged on how to survive a tornado.
And let's keep it going.
We did super well, and I can't thank you. I look forward to being here next week and onward. Thank you, Michael. I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Ted. Thanks, Kent. That was it's really good to know that, this institution that CKUW is here, and it supports these endeavors. I came here. I never actually got any. This is Michael Welch, and I never actually got any formal training in terms of doing journalism. I didn't go to journalism school. Basically, most of the training I got was right here at CKUW. And Kent, who just spoke earlier, was gave me the guidance that I needed, and it was that's how I got my start. And I just took that baton and ran with it. So it's important. I think that CKUW, I can talk in a little bit more depth about this specific show, the Global Research News Hour, but I think it's important to acknowledge that the staff and the volunteers here have been top notch and very, very supportive of so many of the projects that I've come up with. And they basically, anything you want to take on, they just say, hey, go for it. So that's what I'm endeavoring to do. So what I would ask you to do is, if you understand, even if you're not particularly drawn to our spoken word programming, but just appreciate that this cast of characters that are ready to foster whatever you have to, ever its volunteers want to pursue, people like me, you should phone 204-774-6877. You do it now. Don't put it off any longer. Unless, of course, you're driving a car right now, then you might want to put it off until you can get to a curb, and then you can make that call. 204-774-6877. Or you can get us online, fundrive.ckuw.ca. So I just want to say that the show is called the Global Research News Hour, and we've been in operation since the fall of 2012, and we've created about 130 episodes, weekly episodes. It used to be on Thursdays, then Fridays, but we also found ourselves being podcast on the World Wide Web. So we've been picked up by other stations. The Progressive Radio Network in the United States is one. We've got CHLY in Nanaimo, and I can give you the complete rundown of the other stations that have picked us up. But basically, we specialize in those stories that are not getting the attention that they are deserved, because the mainstream media, their function is to gloss over inconvenient facts. I remember there was a film called Manufacturing Consent, Noam Chomsky in the media. And there's one scene in particular that stands out for me, and that was when there were two comparable humanitarian tragedies. There was the Cambodian genocide, and then there was the East Timorese genocide. And they were happening about the same time, but the level of press coverage was kind of different. The coverage by the New York Times amounted to, the complete coverage over that 4 or 5 year period amounted to 70 column inches versus the 1,175 column inches devoted to the Cambodian massacre. Why? Because the latter was convenient for the U.S. imperial interests versus the East Timorese massacre, which the U.S. Backed Indonesian government was responsible for. So that gives you, and we have been trying on this show, the Global Research News Hour, we're trying to balance things out more, to look at those subjects that are being underserved by the mainstream. I think one example of this would probably be the Yemen tragedy. As I think some of you may know, the Canadian government has been selling has a contract to sell $15 billion in arms to the Saudi Arabian government. And Saudi Arabia, over the last 10 months, has been basically bombing the crap out of Yemen. And there's been a massive humanitarian tragedy that's been taking place there. Something like 14.4 million Yemeni are food insecure. And we typically hear more about the refugee crisis in Syria, and of course are going out of our way to accommodate them, and which is, you know, as it should be. But that there's a difference there. There seems to be a differential that doesn't add up unless you consider the interests are being protected. This is we're not limited by mainstream media considerations of having to satisfy the advertisers. We are ad free as of over the last 2 years. We've run absolutely no ads, no paid ads. So I think it's a worthwhile investment. If in order to make up for that lack of ad revenue, we need to count on you to provide us with funds. I'm just going to play a clip from there's one of our collaborators, Leslie Hughes. She, you know, speaking on a different show, People of Interest, she was talking about her own experience in dealing with the mainstream media here in Winnipeg. And I'll just provide a bit of a clip of what she had to say. So let's just have a listen to what she had to say on the question of ads and how that changes news coverage.
This is ancient history in Winnipeg. Mother Teresa was here. It was a wonderful experience meeting her and interviewing her. And she was very, very moving on the subject of poverty and of course, giving what she called people a beautiful death. And actually, just as the dictates of my day on that occasion were that I then had to do the family grocery shopping. And I went into a brand new store. I won't say any names, but I went into a brand new store that was celebrating its opening. This was in Tuxedo, and I was struck so deeply by the contrast that it made me weep. And I thought, oh my God, this is the experience that I should be passing on to people. So I wrote the column, and it never saw the light of day. And my editor was kind enough to explain it to me, and he said, you know, that store it paid us a lot of money to advertise on one day, and then we just can't go back the next day and write a story and making them look like the ogre of the Western world. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked because I had thought that I was doing journalism at its very roots, but it was just, you know, snipped off there. And I understand. I mean, he did make me understand, and that's just that's life, mm-hmm. In my business.
And so that's Leslie Hughes speaking with our own Victoria King on our local news program, People of Interest, about the influence of advertising at the micro level. So, you know, just think about that, how that news coverage has been shaped. And imagine what, when you're looking at the larger stage and how, you know, say entities like NBC News, which is not just carrying ads, but is totally owned by a major corporation, General Electric, which is also a defense contractor, you begin to understand how it would be difficult to report negatively about certain aspects of American foreign policy. So I think that is an excellent argument for people. If you want to have some degree of news coverage that is not corrupted by those sorts of influences, it's necessary to provide the revenue. And, you know, in order to keep stations like CKUW, which carries the Global Research News Hour, in order to keep it functioning and to keep it to keep it carrying this kind of these inconvenient truths. I'll just give you some other examples of stories that we've done just over the last year or so. We had, for example, geostrategic analysis of Ukraine and Syria and seeing how that departs from the mainstream narrative. We've been talking about these trade deals like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and how that's actually for the sort of the economic aspect of the whole, what do you call it there? The wedge against China, the pivot, excuse me. We talked to David Heap, and we talked to an individual riding along the Freedom Flotilla to Gaza, who related some of the issues that they experienced when they were intercepted by Israeli defense forces. Didn't hear very much about that from the mainstream. The I mentioned earlier Yemen, a major humanitarian catastrophe unraveling there, but a lot of people don't even know about it. And maybe part of the reason might have something to do with the fact that the Canadian government and the American government are supporting the Saudi government. This is what could be considered inconvenient truths. Dennis Edney, the lawyer of Omar Khadr, who gave a very poignant account of that child soldier who was imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay for a decade. Bill C-51, we had Naomi Wolf, who's the author of a book about the end of democracy in 10 Easy Steps, and just bringing us through, you know, how our civil liberties are being contracted. Mining abroad, alternative economics, there's so much more that we've been working on, and I got to tell you, it takes a lot of research and hard work to put these stories together. So it really would be gratifying to this station and to me personally if people could phone in with their pledge of $70, $100, or whatever you can afford, because we certainly have incentives. I know that, for example, a Canadian Dimension magazine has offered a free subscription of their magazine anybody who contributes $70 or more will be have a ticket thrown in to a draw that will allow them to receive that prize. We also have, of course, the Fund Drive T-shirt and card. At the $95.9 level is an excellent incentive. They offer a CKUW Bluetooth radio and speaker. Along with our friends card, which allows for discounts at local establishments here in Winnipeg. But this it's a little handheld device, and you just could plug it in, and it'll play anything from if you have a you can set it to 95.9 FM, or it'll play off of a device. So it's been a very popular item, and you might want to, because this is the only way that you can get it, is by pledging to CKW, 204-774-6877. I should also point out that we've been doing a lot of coverage about over the last 3 weeks on U.S. political prisoners, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's suffering right now from hepatitis C. His health is in some jeopardy. We spoke about them. I had Ward Churchill on last week talking about the Leonard Peltier situation and COINTELPRO. Again, not a lot of exposure to some of the facts around that. And Leonard Peltier, his health is also in some jeopardy as he is suffering from being diagnosed with abdominal aortic aneurysm. So this is the time to reach out and you get some amelioration of those injustices. So I mean, it's all well. We have our archived at Global Research, the Center for Research and Globalization is our partner, and so we have had a lot of our programs are archived there, and we are also a good resource for guests. So call 204-774-6877. And speaking of political prisoners, I'll just play a little bit of music right now, so I'll give you a chance to go to your phone, 204-774-6877. Don't put it off. Call us right now. Okay, so that was a bit of the theme music for the program. It's 1:19 Central Standard Time. You're listening to the Global Research News Hour, the Fun Drive edition. We're raising funds for our radio station. This is the very last spoken word program before we end our drive. So we're hoping to have people phone in at 204-774-6877. Or please consider, you can go online at Fundrive, F-U-N-D-R-I-V-E dot C-K-U-W dot C-A. And you can make a pledge at whatever level you're comfortable with. It's very critical to have listener support if we're going to avoid the kind of corrupting influences when revenues come from other entrenched interests. I am joined right now in the studio by a good friend and actually the very, very first person I ever interviewed for this radio station. His name is Joshua Key, and some of you may remember he's been a guest on the program a few times. But he is essentially an Iraq War resistor, Iraq War deserter. He came to Canada in 2005 because he refused to participate. I mean, having seen up close and personal what was really going on in Iraq and not adequately being relayed by other media, he went AWOL. He came across the border into Canada in 2005 and has been applying with some disappointing results to stay here as a citizen of the country, essentially as a refugee. And we've relayed him. He's been having ongoing problems, not only health problems, but his situation has been the previous conservative government has been giving him a hard time and had already deported a few of these other individuals who had left the country. Joshua Key, thank you for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So first of all, just a point of full disclosure here, because I have actually been assisting you, helping with fundraisers and such. So I mean, there's a bit of a conflict of interest, but I really wanted to give you a chance to maybe give some indications of what you maybe, if there are any differences between the way our radio station has dealt with your plight and the way maybe some of the more mainstream media outlets have been. How would you, what would you be your assessment of the way CKUW has been covering your situation?
Well, for years with the conservative government in and sort of the blockage of the media, at least for myself, you guys let me get on the air. At least, on different critical points when things should have been broadcasted, you would think, across the national wavelengths, at least it was here. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's one of the big things. And also it's a sense of being able to say everything and sort of talk the truth in a way, rather than in the big mainstream, it's more of a very more hostile.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah. And I'd like to think that we kind of try to go to try to get at the heart of the matter. And do you find that, is there an example of a question that you've gotten from mainstream media outlets that you just kind of shake your head and it's like, where is that coming from?
Well, I guess the big one is always the you signed a contract. I mean, now I think anyone that would look at that would see it as being stupid, considered all the mortgages and everything else that fell through. But as being in this country for 10 years, I would have to say that's probably, and also, where you took the easy road. I would have to say all of us that have been in Canada and still live here and are presently here, we completely the opposite. That's an understatement.
Yeah. So bring us up to date, okay? You've been, since the last time you were on the show, in fact, I think since the last time you've done any media, there's a new sheriff in town, Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party. Have there been any changes, either for the better or the worse, since the new government replaced the Harper government you were mentioning earlier?
Well, not too many changes yet. I mean, as far as the promises that were made before the election, I mean, you can go on the promises compared to now, and nothing has been fulfilled. You know, when there's a big litigation court case that comes in April with five of the other resistors and deserters in Canada, and it's sort of shocking that they didn't drop it compared to the points of it was all based on the Conservative government. They're the ones that implemented it, they're the ones that put it in place, and they're the ones that are doing it. But yet, after asking the Liberal government to stop the litigation, they're refusing to stop it. So, I mean, that could give a person... What way does it go next, and how will it go next?
Okay. There were concerns about... well, you are married to a Canadian now, right?
Yes.
And that happened when?
7 years ago.
So if you're married to a Canadian, why wouldn't you have... isn't that you're in? Because I mean, that's what people say. Well, if you just marry a Canadian and you're in. I mean, it's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not a fairy tale movie. I mean, you know, that's... we've been in the sponsorship process for about six years with nothing. You know, there's not the first stage approval. You know, they always talk about how easy, you know, most people can get it within a year. This has been 6.5 with nothing. So it's definitely not as easy as what people think. And also, I would say if I was a normal person and not the politics ruling everything, it probably would already been dealt with. But because of the politics, who I am and everything, and it's... I don't see an ending in sight. I would like to, but I don't.
Okay. And you've been denied the ability to work in the country and even to draw health insurance.
Just until a month ago. 1 month ago, I get they approved a work permit, which is the first time in 10 years to approve it. And being in Manitoba, then you're allowed to have health care with having a work permit. So, I mean, that changes the ballgame in many aspects, at least of every day-to-day life. It's just the hard part of then trying to find a job when you haven't worked in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always hurdles, but you just got to jump over them and keep going.
Yeah. Do you feel that the media in Canada or the United States have adequately been able to impress on the Canadian public what you guys are facing, what you refuse to participate in?
You know, 10 years ago, the media was everywhere. You know, but then after the Conservatives got the majority, things went down. I mean, at that time, I would say we at least had a fair shot of at least explaining why we were here, the situations in war, the reasons why I am in this country. You know, after getting here and filing for refugee status and then that getting thrown out for the true intentions of being in this country, that was a little bit disheartening in itself. But, you know, the last time that there was any even a given media to where anything could really be explained for the purposes was when Kimberly Rivera was being deported from this country. And even then, it was pretty selective on which media outlets would do anything. I mean, it's I'm still anxious to see how that will change now.
But you're still concerned about being deported?
Oh, by far, yes. Yeah, I still, you know, I have to check in every month with Canada Border Service agents. I have to, I'm waiting on an answer to the sponsorship and an answer to a PRA. I mean, after I'm given the answers to them, there could be a deportation order immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is still very, very much in limbo. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, I mean, again, just, you know, updating our listeners, I mean, these people who refuse to fight in the Iraq War, which... I think just about everybody who's been paying attention knows it was not a lawful or certainly not a moral enterprise. And one would think that people like yourself should be commended for refusing to participate in that mob. But, you know, where do things sit now? Where do you go from here?
You know, I don't know. You know, in 2008 there was... two non-binding motions passed in the House of Commons to give, you know, war resistors and deserters, provision for us to stay in Canada. But with everything being so long ago compared to now being in 2016, I mean, it's a whole nother ballgame that has to be fought for even things to see what will happen next. I mean, if it goes on how many years we've been here, even looking in the Vietnam times when the first deserters and resistors had came here and was fighting for a provision at that time, I mean, we way surpassed the amount of years this has taken. And not only that, our numbers used to be around, assumably, 200 of us in this country. Now there's only 9 of us left. I mean, you know, there's just a handful of us to even have to deal with.
So I'm just wondering if you could, since we are doing a fundraiser for the station, and we're encouraging our listeners to phone 204-774-6877, what would you argue would be the benefit of supporting an ad-free radio station and a program like the Global Research News Hour in particular?
Very important for many reasons, but I would say for one, because it's an avenue for not just myself, but anyone else in the political scheme of this country to at least get everything out, not have, the big box influences on it or the ones asking even the questions. It's a pretty neutral atmosphere, and it's great, so people, please donate.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joshua. Appreciate having you back, and all the best moving forward for you and your family.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
Okay. Joshua Key, he is an Iraq war resister and deserter, also the author of The Deserter's Tale, the story of an ordinary soldier who walked away from the war in Iraq. We're going to go to a bit of a break now, a bit of a musical break. And then when we return, we'll be speaking with another individual who's been involved with political activism for some time. So please do stick around. Listen to phone 204-774-6877. Let's get those phones ringing and let's support independent, unembedded news and views.
Come get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boys. Better watch what you say. We've rammed in your harbor and tied to your port, and our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the fore, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. We pick and choose as we please, boys. Pick and choose as we please. You'd best get down on your knees, boys. Best get down on your knees. We're hairy and horny and ready to shack, and we don't care if you're yellow or black. Just take off your clothes and lay down on your back, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. Our boots are needing a shine, boys. Boots are needing a shine. But our Coca-Cola is fine, boys. Coca-Cola is fine. We've got to protect all our citizens fair, so we'll send a battalion for everyone there. And maybe we'll leave in a couple of years, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And dump the reds in a pile, boys. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boys. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck, and we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And clean the Johns with a rag, boy. Clean the Johns with a rag. If you like, you can use your flag, boys. If you like, you can use your flag. We've got too much money, we're looking for toys. And guns will be guns, and boys will be boys. But we'll gladly pay for all we destroy, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. we're the cops of the world. Please stay off of the grass, boys. Please stay off of the grass. Here's a kick in the ass, boys. Here's a kick in the ass. We'll smash down your doors, we don't bother to knock. We've done it before, so why all the shock? We're the biggest and the toughest kids on the block. And we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And when we butchered your sons, boys, when we butchered your sons, have a stick of our gum, boys. Have a stick of our bubble gum. We own half the world, oh say can you see? And the name for our profits is democracy. So like it or not, you will have to be free. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
And, of course, that was the incomparable Phil Oakes with the song Cops of the World. And so that was definitely a point of a comment on U.S. imperialism from that era and ongoing into today. So you're listening to Fun Drive on CKW 95.9 FM, which hosts the Global Research News Hour from the University of Winnipeg campus in Winnipeg. If you would like to donate to our station, please do so. The number to phone if you are in Winnipeg is 204-774-6877. You can also download online. Go to go to the URL fundrive, fundrive.ckuw.ca, and you can pledge it at whatever level you're comfortable with. Well, I've got a frequent guest of the Global Research News Hour. His name is Roger Annis. He is a political activist, a retired aerospace worker. He's a writer, and he's also one of the editors of the site Cold War, newcoldwar.net. Excuse me. Okay, Roger, do I have you?
You do indeed, yes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Roger, you've been to a number of different trouble spots around the world. You've been to Haiti, you've been to Ukraine. I was wondering if you'd maybe care to give us your insights into the value of independent media and programs like the Global Research News Hour.
Well, I think this kind of program has been invaluable for, what we've tried to do for more than 10 years by way of information and advocacy on behalf of the Haitian people, and then more recently with respect to the conflict in eastern Ukraine and in Crimea. The way I look at it is that we have in Canada an informal system of media censorship. There's not a board in Ottawa of the federal government saying this we will allow, this we won't allow. It's not that blunt and direct. What we have, though, is we have editorial boards of newspapers and of mainstream radio outlets, including, I'm sad to say, the CBC. And so the way that works is, the editorial boards either make the direct decisions or the biases which they bring to issues filters down to the reporting. And so this is how the censorship takes place. We will report this. We won't report that. We won't report the failure of post-earthquake aid in Haiti, and we won't report about how the regime change in Haiti dating back to 2004, is responsible for the continued economic deprivation and violation of political rights in Haiti. No. That just won't be allowed. So, you could look at fundraising for supporting independent media as a way of fighting censorship because, what's the alternative to this kind of censorship, which is very widespread in our media? It's to, have alternative voices that are possible. So that's how we look at it, and that's why, I support, the kind of fundraising that you're trying to do for your program and station. That's really quite important for us as a, democracy such as it is in Canada.
Have you had the experience, because of what you've talked about, have you been in effect blacklisted, or is it maybe a little bit more subtle than that?
Well, you know, I think blacklisted is not too far from it. I mean, I have a long history of writing to mainstream news outlets and saying you're not doing this, you know, properly. You've got your facts wrong here. Here's what you could be doing. I mean, this is really part of what I do. I can almost say every day. And then, you know, one form this takes is, you know, one of the frequent forms of writing that I do is I do reviews of media presentations. I did this, you know, for years with respect to Haiti, and then more recently with respect to the situation in Ukraine. You know, I'll listen to a broadcast on CBC, or I'll read what has appeared in the Toronto Star and the Globe and Mail, and then write an article responding to it, saying, you know, here's what was said, but this is what was not said, or this is the distortion or inaccuracy of facts. I do so much commentary on media itself because I've learned this really. I hate to say it, but it's really kind of a waste of time of trying to get your voice heard on these mainstream outlets. You can work away at it, and eventually, once in a while, you know, something will get through, and you know, you might get an op-ed publicized, you might be interviewed on a mainstream program, but it's very rare. And if you criticize publicly, as I do very sharply, the failures of mainstream media, you know, with respect to Haiti, Ukraine, foreign policy issues in general, for sure you get a name and a reputation, and you know you're not going to be called for the interview. So yeah, it's, you know, my experience in this has been disappointing. Now I have to say that with respect to the journalists on these outlets, it's somewhat of a different question. So I have a very respectful relationship with a lot of mainstream media journalists who, you know, are serious people, but you know, everything they do, you know, has to pass through this filter of let me call it what it is, the censorship boards, called editorial boards on these outlets. So, you know, that in my experience is how the whole process works. So we again come back to the importance of having independent outlets where we don't have news and information, controlled in this way by, you know, effectively what I call censorship boards.
Mm. So is there any doubt in your mind that if the kind of information that we make available on shows like the Global Research News Hour, if it was getting more thorough exposure in the mainstream media, that it would make a difference in terms of the policies that we're enacting as a country, within the continent, for that matter?
Well, it would certainly be a greater factor weighing on the political decision makers, because, you know, what governments in Ottawa and Washington and elsewhere in the imperialist capitals get away with depends in part on public opinion. We know all the difficulties that the U.S. government and the Canadian government have had with the legacy of their disastrous intervention in Afghanistan. You know, the majority of people, of Canadian people, and polls tell us this, the majority of Canadian people think that this intervention in Afghanistan was a folly and was a violation of the rights of the Afghan people. That's what the majority of Canadians think, a slim majority, I believe, if the polls tell us so correctly. So for sure, to the extent that Canadians are become informed and aware of issues, be it foreign policy or locally, it becomes a factor weighing on politicians. But, you know, we can't depend on that. I mean, we have to we can't depend on the big media outlets to do that job for us. We have to work away and plug away with the media outlets that we have that are available to us. And, you know, so, this does kind of affect policymakers. But most importantly is that it contributes to the overall and general political change that we need in the country, which is, you know, our very deep going change is required. And so, you know, information, accurate information of the state of the world and, you know, analysis of alternative policies and of alternative governments that are possible is absolutely crucial to any real and, lasting change.
Well, okay, Roger, I mean, as I mentioned, this is a fundraising show, and I feel like there's a listener out there who's sitting in his den and he's like, oh, I don't know if I can afford it, or, kind of flip-flopping, is kind of reaching to the phone but is a little bit nervous. I'm wondering if maybe there's something happening right now that's really top of mind that you're really grumbling about, that needs attention, that that is that we need to acquaint people with, and we'll push them just past that edge of phoning 204-774-6877 with a generous donation?
Well, I think there's two that come to mind. One is, you know, one is the situation in Haiti now, where there's a political crisis, you could say, that's really erupted in Haiti with very significant protests, and the people of Haiti are, you know, trying to bring down this political regime that was put into place shortly after the 2010 earthquake. So there's very interesting developments going on there that I think are very hopeful and positive. And the other thing is, I think Canadians need to know, you know, about the political, and I would say it's a military intervention as well by the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. in Ukraine, in this whole buildup and confrontation with Russia that's going on. So there's, you know, there's a couple of pieces of very important news that I'm sorry to tell listeners, you know, they're not going to read about in the Globe and Mail or even here on the CBC. They've got to, you know, allow voices to break through this sort of controlled political censorship that we have. So, you know, there you go. I mean, without programs like this one, and without that whole network of alternative web, print, and radio media across the country, you know, we'd be in pretty poor shape. So, yeah, I think those are a couple of very compelling contemporary issues where people need information, and you're not going to get it from the mainstream.
Well, Roger Annis, I can tell you what, we'll be on top of those stories and we'll get them out to the public. So all we need is the support of our of Team CKUW. Give us a call, 204-774-6877, and make that pledge. Show us that you do care about that kind of independent reporting on these very, very critical developments around the globe. Roger Annis, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck with the fund drive.
Thank you so much. And we've been speaking to Roger Annis, who is the one of the editors at newcoldwar.org, a political activist and writer based in Vancouver. It's 1:46. We're going to play a little bit more music for you now. I think we'll play... got a clip from a past show we did, and this is with an FBI whistleblower named Sybil Edmonds, and she is, she's talking about something called Operation Gladio and its evolution, and she's in her, we'll give her a bit of her an explanation from her about how what she sees as the Gladio B, or the next stage in that development of an operation that's called the Strategy of Tension. So, you know, we'll listen to a little bit of that, and we'll be back with more of our fun drive. Go to the phone, 204-774-6877.
In 2011, months and months before Syria became headline, anything about Syria was ever, you know, written on the New York Times and Washington Post and CNN, we broke a story. I broke a story based on my sources here in the United States military, but also in Turkey, about the fact that special CIA NATO forces in a NATO base in Turkey, which is in southern portion of Turkey, very close to Syrian border, they were bringing in Turkey, the CIA NATO Gladio units, they were recruiting and bringing in people from northern Syria into these camps, part of the U.S. Air Force base in southern Turkey, and they were training them, military training, they were arming them, and they were basically directing them towards creating terror events inside Syria, not only against Assad, but also in various villages and regions against the people, against public. And when we broke the story and we cited all this, nobody from the mainstream media even looked at. In fact, several of my sources had, before approaching me at Boiling Frogs Post, they had gone with evidence, documents, with aerial pictures to some of the top publications, such as New York Times, but they did not print any of this, not because of lack of supporting documents, because at that point they were not ready in the United States to make Syria the real case. They were still in the midst of training and taking these people down, funneling them back into Syria. These are really porous borders between Syria and Turkey. And then 7-8 months later, suddenly Syria started entering the news headlines in the United States. Well, that was the training and the beginning of the ISIS brand. You know, started as ISIL, ISIL, and then it turned to ISIS, now short is IIS. But this was completely by design. It was created, and the people who are part of the so-called ISIS, they were carefully selected, brought into the U.S. base, in a U.S. NATO base in Turkey. They were trained, they were funneled, and this is what they were told to do. They created a new brand, and a new brand with the purpose of replacing the old brand, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, after, you know, 12 years, started losing its oomph as a brand. You know, this is no different than any kind of marketing strategy. You would see some companies bringing in the same kind of product but under a different brand and packaging to excite the buyers, purchasers, the consumers. Well, this is exactly the same thing. With Al-Qaeda weakening as a brand, because after a while, people just get like, oh, yeah, it's the same thing. Al-Qaeda here, Al-Qaeda there. Mm-hmm. They are inside the wells. They are inside the in the backyard, in my outhouse. So they said this is the time to create another brand. And so they gave birth to this ISIS brand. And within 2 years, this brand that never existed before, and if you go and look at the headlines, you can Google ISIS and financial network, this ISIS brand became the richest terror organization on the planet with $2+ billion net worth. I mean, think about it. How does that happen? How can in 2 years some terrorist, ferocious terrorist group gets to be formed and they have all these guns and all these bombs and they have Range Rovers and they have Jeeps and they have all these sophisticated training, military and paramilitary training. They have $2 billion plus. They have IT network and they are the world's scariest terror organization, and that is that's the hallmark of Operation Gladio B. That's what they have been doing since 1950s, and now with people getting very, I guess, apt to likely to buy these types of brands, subscribe to these kinds of brands, they are being marketed to the consumers in the West, which they are gobbling it up with the mainstream media about this ISIS.
So that was Sybelle Edmonds speaking to our own John Wilson about this is last September, talking about ISIS and what she called Gladio B. She's the author of a work of fiction, but she had to write it as fiction because she is considered a classified woman. But it's a very, very different take on events than what we're accustomed to hearing in the mainstream media. So if you do appreciate that kind of analysis, dissident analysis, and are willing to support it, if you think this is something worth supporting, I would hope that you would give us a call at 204-774-6877. Make that pledge. Don't put it off. You can also donate online, fundrive.ckuw.ca, and pledge at whatever level you wish. As mentioned earlier, you can get a number of incentives. You can get a tax receipt alternatively, or you can, you know, at the $70 level, you get the FunDrive t-shirt with a kind of a pterodactyl-looking thing on the front and the CKUW logo. The higher levels, you can get the $95.9 level, you get the CKUW Bluetooth radio and speaker, as well as the Friends card. At higher levels, at the $500 level, you can get this great CKUW shoulder bag, and those also come close. You also get with that the copy of Stylus magazine. So I'm going to just play a little bit of music, and we'll be right back. She says, I want to give you a chance to phone in. 204-774-6877. Please, we need to make our goal. We need to make about $10,000 over the next six hours. So 204-774-6877. They'll play a little bit of Talking Heads.
End up in the hospital.
Okay, so that's Cross-Eyed and Painless by the Talking Heads. And so we're hoping that you, the listener, will phone 204-774-6877 and make a pledge. Keep independent news and views available on the radio dial. I'm joined right now. I've got a special guest in the studio. Would you like to say your name?
Yeah, it's Dave McLeod. I'm just I just got to say, Michael, I'm a big fan. I was listening to the radio. I was like, I got to stop by. I got to make a pledge. And I just want to congratulate you for all the work you do with bringing an independent voices, a lot of voices that aren't heard, usually heard or given an opportunity to be in the radio. And ultimately, you're representing Winnipeg. You're bringing voices to Winnipeg. We do have a lot of radio stations, but what you do particularly is you bring voices to the airwaves that you're not going to hear at a lot of other stations. So appreciate that, and also
thank you very much.
The global perspectives and the local perspectives are really important that you bring. But I was just curious, how long have you been on CKAW now?
I started in 2008, and I didn't have any. I sort of came from an activist background, and I didn't have any formal journalism training. I got that kind of a bit of a learn by doing type process.
And that, of course, brings a unique style to the station, and also opens up opportunities for you to connect with a lot of organizations and groups in the city. So you've made that personal commitment. Why have you decided to do that?
Well, I think I've always had a passion for justice and human rights and, you know, fairness, and I know that. You know, when I kind of became politically engaged by around the early to mid 1990s, and I recognized way back then that there's so much that the entities, you know, these, you know, evil dudes, if you want to call them, like as profit making entities or whatever, they're able to get away with because it's not getting reported. It's not getting the kind of exposure that it needs to get,
and that's exactly.
And so I'll go out and get it myself if that's what it takes.
Well, and you cover such a vast amount of topics. I mean, like you mentioned, like culturally, you're covering events, economically, what's going on economically in our world, and also politically. So it's all there's so many topics, and also the variants, the different voices we have. I mean, we have a growing Filipino population, we have a growing Aboriginal population, and a Syrian population soon to be on the rise. So finding out what's going on politically in our world and how it affects us is something that you do. And, you know, I think it's even beyond the amount of time that people hear you on the air, you're also, you're going to events, you're editing interviews on your own time. A lot of that's unseen and unknown, and that I certainly appreciate you doing that and bringing that to the airwaves. What are in the last year or so? What are some of the top, like some of the favorite interviews you've done?
Oh well, I did one recently. I guess just sort of comes to mind is my interview with Ward Churchill last week. You know, that was a bit extensive, and. Because I'd never interviewed him before, and talking about the Leonard Peltier situation and COINTELPRO, because that's something we don't hear very much in the mainstream media.
Well, and that's
how many people even know that Leonard Peltier is very ill right now. So I think that's an argument for phoning 204-774-6877. I mean, if you people support what I do, and I'm doing it to the best of my ability, I put a lot of work into it, and. If you feel the need, if you're able to support, then that would be great.
Let's ring those phones.
And I just want to thank people who have rendered some support in the last little while. I want to thank Ken for his $70 pledge, Peyton for his $20 pledge, Irene for her $100 pledge, Leonard another $100 pledge, Nicole and Ben gave $100, Jord $60, Joe $100. I got a big pledge here from Scott, $120. And Valerie, $35. Thank you, one and all. This is really, I really deeply appreciate this.
Please add my name. I'll do a $70 pledge.
Great. Yeah. Dave. Thank you, Dave McLeod. So, okay, that's $70 from Dave. Thank you
very
much.
Yeah, thanks for your great work, Michael, and please continue doing it.
Okay.
Miigwech.
Well, I thank you everyone for that support, and that's certainly enough to keep me going. But we still will willing to welcome any more calls that can come in over the next couple of minutes. I know that our time is pretty much up now. But yeah, 204-774-6877. Let's support the Global Research News Hour, heard every week at this time from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And also donate at fundrive.ckw.ca. Make that pledge. And thanks a lot. We're just gonna let's see, what can we do here? All right, we'll maybe end up with a little of Chumbawamba and go into the next program. So thanks for your support, and keep CKUW alive and kicking for many, many years to come.